Hello and welcome to the Playground Podcast. My name is Chris Byrne, and as many of you know, we sadly lost my co-host and cohort, Richard Gottlieb, on October 26th. However, in this short episode, we want to remember Richard and all that he did for the toy industry and for many, many people individually. The Playground Podcast is supported by global toy experts The Toy Guy and Beacon Media Group. For more than 4 years, we began every episode like this. Hey, Richard Gottlieb.
Chris Byrne.
How you doing?
I'm doing just great.
Starting in April of 2019, Richard and I recorded 150 episodes of the podcast together. It's a nice round number, and somehow it seems significant that this is number 151. It's kind of a new chapter, and Richard was all about new chapters. The idea began when Richard and I realized how much we enjoyed talking with each other and all things toy biz. The idea was to take the conversations we enjoyed having and sharing them with other folks in the industry. What we thought would be fun for a few friends and colleagues expanded, and we were gratified to hear that not only were people interested in what we had to say, they wanted to join in the conversation as well. And that's how we got to 150 episodes. As many of you listening know, Richard suffered from ALS. And if you don't know, here's a little background on that. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS, also known as motor neuron disease, MND, or Lou Gehrig's disease and Charcot's disease, is a progressive neurodegenerative disease that attacks motor neurons in the brain and spinal cord. This results in the wasting away of muscle, loss of movement, and eventual paralysis. Roughly 1 in 400 people will develop ALS in their lifetimes, and there are an estimated 30,000 people living with ALS in the U.S. at any given time. We're still learning much about what causes ALS, and about 90% of all ALS cases are sporadic, with no known history of the disease in a family. The remaining 10% of cases of ALS are familial, inherited. ALS affects people of all races, ages, and genders. As the disease progressed, Richard lost his ability to speak, but his was a voice that mattered in the noise and rush of the ever-spinning toy business. So, in our last few episodes, Richard was, as we said, on the keys. That amused him because it sounded like acknowledging a band member, but while his voice may not have been on the recording, anyone we talked to got the benefit of his thoughtful, considered, and sometimes comical questions. Throughout our work on this show, we took it on the road to Hong Kong, Nuremberg, and Guangzhou. Richard was fascinated by any place toys were made and business was done. We also got to spend time in one of both of our favorite spots, the Strong Museum of Play in Rochester. Now, if you're in the toy business and you haven't been there, we would strongly recommend a visit. And if you ask nicely, you may be able to get into the archives, which is one of the most amazing days I've spent, because you'll understand both the products that have evolved over the years, and you'll get a peek into how we as a culture played over 150 years or so. End of plug, just go. Richard was a toy business lifer. He was born in Hampton, Virginia, and attended the University of Richmond. He was in sales for Southern Distributors starting in 1971, and he was with them until 1984 when he joined Western Publishing Company and traveled all over the United States selling books and other products. I loved his stories about selling coloring books especially. Incidentally, our time with Western slightly overlapped, and did we have stories? But many of them are not suitable for a family podcast. Let's just say it was a different time. Years later, though, these tales could be counted on for a chuckle or more. In 1990, Richard went to Catico, and then in 2004, he moved to New York City and launched Global Toy News in 2007, which he wrote for weekly until just before he passed. He also started Global Toy Experts with his former client, then colleague and friend Steve Velt, doing expert witness work, mergers and acquisitions, and lots of things toy. Richard loved this business, and he loved people. There are a few things he enjoyed as much as connecting people, and he was incredibly loyal to them, something I always thought spoke very highly of his character. In the weeks since his death, I've heard many great stories about how Richard helped people at the beginning of their careers and kept in touch with them throughout as they grew in the business. His annual Toy Fair party was always a place for all the people he had connected to celebrate, and it was an annual must-attend right up until it was shut down by COVID. Richard was also passionate about wanting to attract people to the toy business. He felt that as an industry, we don't do a good enough job of letting people know that a career in toys is a real option, and that there are so many jobs in so many different disciplines, all essential to making these magic moments for children. Moments, Richard said, that would last a lifetime. Like me, Richard also believed that how we played as kids often was a predictor of what career we might follow as adults, at least if we were being true to ourselves. Whatever else he did, Richard was always an avid writer, so it's no surprise that his favorite toy as a child was a typewriter. One of the great things that Richard and I shared, and that you didn't hear too much of in this podcast, was a love for literature, though it couldn't help sneaking in from time to time. We had a lot in common in our educational backgrounds, and Richard was always suggesting things for me to read, not always related to the toy business. And, gratifyingly, he always seemed to get even my more obscure references. It's one of the reasons we both believed in a liberal arts education. It makes people more human and understanding, and makes them better toy makers, too. But the classics weren't all that intrigued him. Richard also loved popular culture. More than a few times, my phone would ring, and he would say, "I have a question for you." And it would be something like, "How would Foghorn Leghorn react to some situation?" Often followed by an interpretation of the character responding. It was a guaranteed belly laugh for me every time. It was Richard's sense of the absurd and love of the ridiculous, balanced with his deep knowledge, comprehensive analysis, and impressive ability to express it all, that made him both a great friend and a wonderful co-host. Richard was an original, and he was a star after his own fashion. He loved a chance to talk about toys, or anything really, but he was also humble and always happy for someone else's success. Richard had a gimlet-eyed understanding of people and human nature, and was a keen observer of contemporary culture, very often in the context of history. He was incredibly well-read and knowledgeable, and easily cited events from the 18th or 19th centuries, or ancient Greece or Rome, that put our current world in historic context. For example, I never knew anyone else who would casually reference the Boxer Rebellion when talking about contemporary politics with regard to China. Richard understood that the study of history isn't an arcane pursuit. He knew, as with delving into the archives at The Strong, that it is through exploring history that we understand the present. These are the conversations that never made it to air, but for which I will always be grateful. One of the things Richard loved to talk about was toy people, people who made a lifelong career in this business. He liked to say that we're most like circus folk. We weren't really sure how we ended up there, but having been bitten by the bug, there was no other life for us. I'll always remember our last conversation at Toy Fair at the beginning of October this year. Richard was writing with amazing speed on an electronic tablet. He knew and lived about as well as anyone I've ever known that old vaudeville adage, "Leave 'em laughing." He did that and more. He left us laughing and thinking and grateful to be part of this business. As Hamlet said of his father, "He was a man. Take him for all in all. I shall not look upon his like again." So, what's next for the Playground Podcast? The plan is to keep it going. It's certainly what Richard would have wanted. Last summer, as we began to address Season 6 and how we were going to approach it, we talked about how the toy industry is pretty weak when it comes to history. It's a shame, we agreed, because that history can be so informative of the present, as I mentioned before. One of the goals we set at that time was to begin to create an oral history of the business. So, the plan is to bring you interviews and memories from people who have lived in this business, who have embraced it and shaped it, along with some of the fascinating people and topics that are shaping the business today. As I think about Richard, I can't help but think about Shakespeare again, and what Prospero says near the end of The Tempest. "Our revels now are ended. These, our actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits, and are melted into air, into thin air, and, like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherit shall dissolve, and, like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep." Happily, we have more and different revels planned, and we hope you'll come along. On behalf of Richard and his wife, Wendy, and myself, thank you so much for listening. We hope you'll continue to tune in, and we look forward to hearing from you about what you'd like to hear about in the time ahead. I'm Chris Byrne, and this is the Playground Podcast.